From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Good afternoon, ladies and gents. 1 o'clock is alive and well on this November 7th, 2013. Yes, the weekend is almost here, folks. Hope the grind of the week is treating you well. Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. A huge, yes, humongous shout out goes to all of you who showed up to last night's taping of Current Sports TV. Yes, the MSU club softball team and coaches were fantastic last night. Heck, the entire audience was one of the most energetic crowds we've ever had on the show. So tonight at 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV is Current Sports with Al Martin, WKAR's newest original TV series. My guest this week is Bob Every, Executive Director of the Greater Area Lansing Sports Hall of Fame. Every is a former prize fighter and trainer and actually coached softball at Lansing Community College for many years, where he led the Lady Stars to a national title. He now coaches Michigan State University's club softball team. That's Current Sports with Al Martin and guest Bob Every tonight at 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV. It was a great time again, just an energetic crowd. Thank you guys for all of the energy last night. And there was even one very emotional moment from Bob where he actually got choked up during our interview. So you don't want to see it. It's compelling stuff. Every such a great guy, a class act. Again, that's tonight at 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV. Do not miss it as I sit down with Bob Every of the Greater Lansing Sports Hall of Fame. And on today's show, we are highlighting one of the most memorable, riveting, and eye-opening events, not just in sports history, but in everyday culture, folks. On this day, 22 years ago, Magic Johnson made the announcement that he was infected with the HIV virus and was leaving the game of basketball. And many of you have heard this announcement and remember where you were during that day. Here's just a snippet of that announcement.
First of all, let me say good afternoon. Because of the HIV virus that I have attained, I will have to retire from the Lakers. I plan on going on living for a long time, bugging you guys like I've always have. So you'll see me around. I plan on being with the Lakers in the league. Hopefully David will have me for a while. And going on with my life.
There you have it. 22 years ago, Magic Johnson made the announcement that he was infected with the HIV virus and was leaving the game of basketball. We're asking all of you to call in and give us your thoughts on that moment. Where were you when you heard the news, and what goes through your mind looking back at it 22 years later? Give us a call here at Current Sports by dialing 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. Or you can leave a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, or even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. In the meantime, let's get to your Current Sports headliners on this November 7th, 2013. Now, a day after being named a finalist for the American League MVP, Miguel Cabrera was bestowed with the Silver Slugger Award as voted on by managers and coaches. Cabrera joined Tigers outfielder Torii Hunter, two of Detroit's top offensive powerhouses this season, who were honored as the top AL hitters at their respective positions. Now, this is Cabrera's fifth such award and third time as a third baseman. Now, he won the award in 2005 and 2006 with the Florida Marlins, and in 2010 and 2012 with the Tigers, and now this year. Now, it's the second career Silver Slugger honor for Hunter, who hit .304 with 17 home runs and 84 RBIs in his first season with the Tigers. The winners were revealed on the MLB Network. Now, a favorite to win the AL MVP, Cabrera was also named AL Silver Bat Award recipient after hitting 348 to claim his third straight batting title. Now, Michael Cuddyer of the Colorado Rockies, he led the National League with a 331 average to win his first Silver Bat Award. Now, Suzanne Slusser of the San Francisco Chronicle reports that the Tigers are among five teams expressing early interest in Balfour. Yes, along with the New York Yankees, Colorado Rockies, Los Angeles Angels, and Tampa Bay Rays, which is his former team. Now, in forecasting future future agent deals, CBS Sports' John Hyman predicts that Balfour will get a three-year, $24 million deal. Now, Balfour turns 36 on December 30th. He went 38-41 in save chances this season with the Oakland Athletics, posting a 2.59 ERA. The right-hander is notorious around baseball for his temper, shouting at himself on the mound to get himself going and, you know, using profanities. Yes, you see it all the time with Balfour. Now, he nearly sparked a brawl during Game 3 of the ALDS last month when, during a save opportunity, he and Victor Martinez, began shouting at each other, causing the benches to clear. The A's went on to win that game, but the Tigers took the next two games and the series. Now, Balfour, he began closing games in 2012 with the A's, going 24-26 that year with a 2.53 ERA. Now, Balfour's career ERA is 3.27, along with though his ERA hasn't hovered above 3 in a season since 2009 with the Rays. So we'll see how that plays out. Now, we had Jeremy Sampson on the show yesterday. Jeremy is bringing Lansing's new minor league soccer team to the area. And yesterday, they revealed the name and the crest and colors of the team. In the release, it says that, quote, it's not a name, it's a philosophy. After the name was suggested multiple times in an online fan contest, owner and CEO Jeremy Sampson knew this was exactly the message he wanted out there. Lansing United is the name. It will take the field in the spring of 2014, joining the Great Lakes Conference of the National Professional Soccer League. The logo was designed by Lansing Creative Studio Traction and features elements key to the philosophy that Sampson wanted to deliver. Jeremy went on to say, I want to thank Cameron Nass for assisting us. The look is not only classy, it speaks to the values that we want this team to follow. Pride, passion, and unity. Now, 8 entries in the contest suggested the name, and each was recognized on Wednesday by the franchise. The winners were all received 2 season tickets, an autographed ball, and a jersey to be presented at the home opener in the spring. And you can check out the logo. I believe the logo is blue and white, I believe. Blue and white logo is, and red. It's a little red sprinkled in there. It looks pretty cool. Pretty cool. So Lansing United is the name of Lansing's newest minor league soccer team. That's pretty cool. So congrats to Jeremy. Wish him all the luck on that team as, you know, they begin their season next year, the spring of 2014. Lansing United. All right. Keith Winning threw for 299 yards and 4 touchdowns. And Horacio Banks had 11 carries for a career-high 143 yards and a score to help Ball State beat Central Michigan University 44-24 on Wednesday night. CMU, bad season for them, I tell you. Now, the Cardinals, who are 9-1 and 6-0 in the MAC, have won 7 straight since falling at North Texas on September 14th. They are now at number 22, Northern Illinois, next Wednesday night in a key West Division game and will close the regular season at home against Miami of Ohio on November 19th. Now, Lansing kid Cooper Rush, of course, Lansing went to Lansing Catholic High School under Jim Ahern, who is now the starting quarterback for CMU. He was 20 of 32 for 284 yards and a touchdown for CMU, who is 3-6 and 2-3 in the MAC. Rush also ran for a score. Titus Davis had 9 catches for 187 yards in the score. Central's only wins this season have come against New Hampshire, Miami of Ohio, and Ohio. A really struggling season for the Chippewas there. All right. The Richie Incognito and Jonathan Martin story just gets stranger and stranger and more puzzling by the day. Now, the latest twist in the story that has dominated the Dolphins news cycle for the last 2 weeks involves reports that GM Jeff Ireland suggested Martin address the Incognito situation physically, going so far as to say Martin should punch Incognito. Now, in addition, several Dolphins teammates told reporters they view Incognito as being, quote, more black than Martin. Yes, I just said that, more black than Martin, citing Incognito's toughness, grit, and rough upbringing. I got some strong comments later on in the show for that one, folks, but I'm just going to continue the story here. Wide receiver Brian Hartline, who is white, came to the defense of both Incognito and Dolphins leadership. Hartline said, quote, one, if I'm not mistaken, this was the same guy who was laughing about the voicemail at one point in time. Goes on to say, second of all, if you go through the whole voicemail, there are some things that you probably shouldn't say in general, friends or not friends. But with that being said, I never thought it was a death threat. I never thought he was going to do the things he said. You can't take validity from one part of the voicemail. How can you take validity from the whole? You can't pick and choose which parts count and which parts don't. Now, Hartline also questioned why the Dolphins would ask Incognito to toughen Martin up if they actually thought he was a racist. Huh. This story just gets, I tell you, more and more interesting. We're going to talk about that later on in the show. Again, if you want to comment on any of this stuff, 517-355-9527. We're taking your calls throughout the entire show. All right, Heisman Trophy winner and Hall of Fame running back Tony Dorsett is one of a few former NFL players who were diagnosed with signs of chronic traumatic encephalopathy, which has been linked to head trauma caused on the gridiron. Now, Dorsett and former NFL All-Pro Lenard Marshall recently underwent tests at UCLA and were informed of the results this week. The 59-year-old Dorsett had recently had episodes of memory loss and depression, two symptoms linked to CTE. Now, Dorsett wants to know for sure if his 12-year career was the root of his health problems. Dorsett went on to say yesterday that, quote, my quality of living has changed drastically and it deteriorates every day. Oh, boy, that's tough stuff. Now, he went on to say, I'm not going to say too much more about it. I'm trying to be proactive rather than reactive. And it's really sad stuff because Dorsett yesterday, he had a few accounts when he was on ESPN of talking about how he was just, you know, driving his kids to soccer practice and just all of a sudden just forgets where he's going. He gets on a plane and forgets where he's going. I mean, unbelievable stuff here. Just eye-opening, to say the least there. Tony Dorsett, again, CTE, many players battling with this disease due to their time playing in the NFL. Sad stuff there. All right. Now, 220 days after suffering a horrific leg injury during the NCAA tournament, we all remember this, Louisville's Kevin Ware made his return to the hardwood for the defending champions. Ware scored 6 points and had 4 rebounds in 10 minutes during the exhibition game against Pikeville. He wanted to say afterwards that it was great. I've never felt like that before. I've been waiting for that moment. Once I hit the first shot, it took away all of the jitters. Now, Ware said he has never watched replays of the injury, instead focusing on the upcoming season and getting back to full strength. He went on to say, I can build on this. I'm just hoping to get out there and show people that I can be the same player I was before the injury. Of course, that Kevin Ware injury was one of the most gruesome, horrific injuries you will ever see in the game of sports. I couldn't believe it when I saw it, and it made me sick to my stomach when I first saw it. But it's great to see a story like this. Kevin Ware, it looks like he's never missed a beat. He looks alive and well, in that game last night. So there you have that. All right, Olympic torch going to space, folks. The Olympic torch has boldly gone where no torch has gone before, and that's space. Yes, the torch making worldwide rounds in anticipation of the 2014 Sochi Winter Games was taken to the International Space Station by 3 Russian astronauts. Now, after a weekend stay, it'll head back to Earth on Monday. The 4-month torch relay is the longest in Olympic history. In addition to space, it's been to the North Pole and will later be plunged to the bottom of Lake Baikal, the world's deepest lake. My goodness. Now, the tour will involve 14,000 torchbearers in 130 cities before it finally lights the Olympic flame on February 7th. I tell you, that torch goes everywhere, man. It's unbelievable stuff there, and it's going to space this weekend. So, well, those are your current sports headliners on this November 7th, 2013. If you want to comment on any of those, give us a call at the Current Sports Studio, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. And today's Current Sports question of the day concerns the HIV announcement that Magic Johnson made on this day 22 years ago. Where were you when you heard the announcement, and what were your thoughts? Give us a call, 517-355-9527, a moment that many of us will never, ever, ever forget. Magic Johnson making the announcement that he is diagnosed with the HIV virus. And I tell you, Magic, hats off to him, because it seems as though he's alive and well, and the treatment he's been getting over the years is truly a blessing. All right, well, we have a very special guest with us on today's Current Sports. The man has been coaching the game of basketball for quite some time within the Lansing area, specifically over at East Lansing High School. He's such a great guy, one of the first coaches I met when I started covering sports in the area. Ladies and gents, welcome East Lansing boys basketball coach Steve Finnemore to the show. How you doing, Steve?
Oh, Al, I'm doing great, and you are too kind, my man. I really appreciate the kind words.
Hey, no problem, Steve. I mean, like I said, I mean, you were one of the first. I never forget when Fred introduced me that one day, and you know, we've been cool ever since, man.
That's right, man.
So, first of all, Steve, I got to ask you, how are the preparations coming for the upcoming basketball season? Because hoops, I can hear the balls dribbling right now, man. It's right around the corner. I believe the season starts on November 18th, right?
You're correct, Al. We're 11 days away, and, you know, at East Lansing, and I'm sure at other schools, we have multi-sport athletes, and a few guys have been playing football, and some people are running cross-country. Some are playing tennis, soccer, you know, our state championship team. We have Jared Hauenstein. So we haven't really done much in terms of preparation, but there's been a lot of guys working out after school now, so they're getting their condition down. And we'll get on the court next, I guess, in 10, 11 days.
Wow, that's great. It's right around the corner. Now, Steve, I want to ask you, over the summer, I know you hosted a lot of basketball camps. I want to ask you, as coming from a coaching perspective, how important is that off season?
Well, I tell you, Al, I've had a lot of discussions about this with a lot of coaches, a lot of players, a lot of parents. It all depends on what the athlete wants to do with their future. Now, if you want to play college basketball somewhere, Division I, Division II, and even Division III, you have to put a lot of time into it. And that may mean sacrificing another sport, especially, Alec, if you come to your junior year in high school, maybe even your senior year, you may have to make a tough decision on what you want to do. You know, you look at two kids like Chris Harris and Docs, who used to play at Okemos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That kid played 365 days out of the year. He didn't have a second sport. And it paid dividends for him playing all year round. So
it's
a pretty broad topic to talk about. You know, you'll get different philosophies from different people. Me, Al, I like kids playing multi-sports, but if you're going to, you know, if you want to make it far, you better put a lot of time in the off-season.
So it varies from coast to coast, then, huh?
It really does, Al.
Gotcha. That makes sense. That definitely makes sense. Now, Steve, looking at your seat, just really quickly for our listeners out there, recap how you guys did last season and what you look to improve on coming into this season, which is, you know, only 11 days away.
Well, Al, I thought our regular season was okay. We finished the year at 12-10, but every loss we had was a close game. And we were led by a young man by the name of Javon Haynes, who is now at Ferris State playing football. Mm-hmm. And Javon was our leading scorer and our leading rebounder. And we beat Everett in the districts. We wound up playing a very good Waverly team in the district finals, and Craig Fields does a great job there. They defeated us rather easily. So we're coming back this year, Al. We lost a lot from graduation last year. We'll have a young team this year, but we'll also be a fast team and a very small team.
There you have it. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, I'm talking with East Lansing High School boys basketball coach Steve Fenimore. Now, Steve, something that's really cool that you do every single year that I think really lightens the mood, I tell you, in the grind of a high school basketball season and a season in general, is that you guys play, sometimes break it up and play dodgeball, wiffle ball. I remember one time I came to practice and you guys were doing yoga. I mean, Talk about – what do you got – first of all, what do you have planned for this year? I'm very interested in this stuff.
I tell you what, we love to keep it loose. You know, if you come see an East Lansing basketball game on a Tuesday or Friday night, you'll see me on the sidelines. I'm pretty animated. I'm pretty enthusiastic. I'm always motivated and passionate. What people don't realize is they don't see me with my team the other 4 or 5 days in the week. So, you know, you may see this guy shouting out instructions on the sideline to his players, taking guys out of the game. But during the week, we try to have some fun. And it's always out at the end of practice where we finish these. We'll put our hour and a half in, maybe 2 hours in of practice time. And then, like you said, we'll play dodgeball. We'll play wiffle ball. We'll do yoga, like you said. This year, Al, we don't really have anything lined up yet, but my assistant Scott Martin does a great job with things like that. And we'll even ask the guys, you know, hey, what do you guys want to play? Want to play hockey? You want to play stickball? We usually do it the day before a big game.
Right, right. And what does that do? I mean, because that's, you know, doing things like that, I always thought, you know, because my coach actually used to try things like that when I was in high school playing basketball. I mean, talk about what that does as far as the chemistry goes for the team. That brings you closer together, right, doing stuff like that.
I think you see another side of each other. The players see a different side to me. I see a different side to them. You see them getting along. You see them choosing up the teams and picking guys to win. I think it helps with competition. You know, you're out there playing wiffle ball. You're throwing the ball in. You're trying to hit it. You're trying to run. You're trying to tag them out. So I really think it helps with competition. It helps with camaraderie. Camaraderie is so important. Actually, Al, you know, I just remembered, we're going to try to get a game up against the local media. Maybe we'll play like a game of wiffle ball, seven-inning game of wiffle ball someday. So if you can grab some of your peers from the area, like Mad Dog and Fred Human and those guys, we'd love to take on a challenge and play you guys.
Hey, it's on like Donkey Kong, Steve. You know, I'm very competitive, so you better expect, you know, some ferocity and some competitiveness in this game, all right? Trust me.
That's right.
All right, Steve, now I got to ask you, let's shift gears now. You're a big hoop fanatic like me, and, you know, I'm a big Piston fan, Steve, and I want to just get your I want to talk about the NBA for a second and get some of your season predictions here. Who do you think is going to win the championship, the scoring title, MVP, rookie of the year? I mean, how is the league looking to you, and who's most impressive to you?
Well, I've been watching all the games. I was so happy. My loving wife, she enabled me and allowed me to get NBA League Pass.
Oh, you are a lucky man. That's a good wife right there, man. Oh, my goodness.
Once she gave the okay for that, I was sitting pretty. But I've been watching all the games, staying up late. And I'll tell you what, I like the Pistons team this year. They added a few, you know, pieces to their puzzle. I've always been a big Maurice Cheeks fan ever since I watched him as a point guard for the Philadelphia 76ers. I like their chemistry. I think they rebound the ball well. You know, I love Brandon Jennings. I think Josh Smith is going to help them. And obviously, Drummond and Greg Monroe, those two guys, I looked at the stats this morning, Al. Those guys are both averaging 11 rebounds a game. So if you can rebound the ball, if you can defend, you're going to give yourself a chance to win. Now, early on, their schedule hasn't been very tough. They lost to the Pacers the other night, 99-91, I believe.
Yeah.
They beat the Celtics, and I think they beat the Wizards. But Friday night, they got a big game with Oklahoma City, and then next week, Al, I believe they go on the West Coast trip to play 3 or 4 tough games. So we're going to get a little better feel for the Pistons, I think, in about 10 to 12 days.
Do you think they're making the playoffs, D?
Yeah. And you know what? Pistons fans are great fans. They deserve it. I like the ownership. I've always liked Joe Dumars, regardless of what people say about him. You know, you go to a Pistons game, it's a great experience, you know. So I think the city of Detroit and the state of Michigan deserves to demand that. You know, you got to say, hey, this team, just like the Tigers, people wanted them to win the World Series. Look, you bring guys in like Josh Smith and Brandon Jennings, you better make the playoffs and you better win the first round at least and get to the second or even the conference finals.
Right, without a doubt. And I've been waiting on this the Pistons have been in the playoffs, Steve, in about, 4 or 5 years now. So I'm praying, man. I'm a diehard, so I'm praying.
I just don't understand, you know, professional sports. You know, the owners, they bring the pieces in, the general manager does his job. As a fan, you know, and I listen to sports talk radio, I don't mind these people criticizing these things, because you know what? You pay a lot of money to go to the game. You want to see a great product out there. Like, everybody bashes the Yankees in baseball for buying all these players and having these high payrolls. You know what? You deserve that as a fan, to have the best product out there.
Yeah. I totally agree. If the money's there, you deserve. I mean, and you're consuming the product, and you know you're diehard and loyalty to this team. I mean, you have a right to criticize them. They're professionals anyway. They're getting paid millions of dollars to play a sport. You know,
that's right.
Exactly. There you go. So So sticking with the NBA really quick, Steve. Give me your who's going to win the whole thing? Are you a Heat guy? You think LeBron's going to win another one?
You know what? I think he'll win another one, but I don't think it's going to be this year. You know who I love? I love the Indiana Pacers.
They are good, aren't they?
I've watched them the last couple of years, and I said, wow, this team is very good. And, you know, they brought in Lewis Scola, who really is going to help. Brings a lot of experience. You know, Paul George, George Hill, and I'll tell you who I really love, is a tough guy, is David West. And the other night we saw a great matchup between Roy Hibbert and Andre Drummond. Those two were going at it. I just think they have a lot of pieces. You know, Lance Stephenson, they defend, they rebound, they share the ball. And you know what, Al? A lot of times when you go to a game, check out the players on the bench when there's a timeout and the guys on the floor are running to the bench. See how much those guys are involved with slapping, giving them five and giving high fives and jumping up, giving those body, you know, those body thumps and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They look like a team. And Frank Vogel's doing a tremendous job. So I would say watch out for the Pacers. I think they're going to knock the Heat off in the East. And then on West, Al, I think the Spurs, it's going to be their year. I think Duncan's going to go out with a championship.
You think so? You think the old men are going to get there again? Huh?
I really do. You know, Parker looks tough. Ginobili looks tough. And this Kawhi Leonard, he's unbelievable. He's a great player. He keeps his mouth shut. He plays the right way. You know, the Spurs are another team. They share the ball. Al, every good team moves the ball around, gets a guy a better shot. I mean, LeBron James averages 8 assists a game, Al. So that's all you have to do. Look at him and play the game the right way. And I think it's going to be Spurs and Pacers this year, Al.
That's not a bad prediction. I can tell you that. Now, you know, my choice coming into this season, we did an NBA special last week, Steve, and I chose the Bulls, and I tell you, the Pacers just, they turned up another notch last night against the Bulls. I'm sitting like, are you kidding me?
But I think Chicago needs, Carlos Boozer had a really bad game last night.
He did.
And the Bulls get a lot of their scoring inside with him. I thought Dang was good. You know, Noah's got to score more. You know, I mean, I know he's a good defender, he's a good passer. You know, Rose will always be there, Heinrich, Luol Deng, they'll get theirs. And I love Jimmy Butler. He's a really good piece of that puzzle, too.
Yeah, he definitely is. So, Steve, now, you know, shifting things to more local field now, MSU basketball, they tip off their season, their regular season, tomorrow night against McNeese State. They're number two in both polls, if you look at both the AP and, you know, the coaches poll. When you look at this MSU basketball team and having the expectation of, you know, being number two in the nation, that's a lot of pressure. Is it a good thing for this team to be ranked that high, psyche-wise?
You know what? I love it, and I'm sure Tom Izzo loves it. He may not tell people on the record, but you know what? It's great knowing that your guys are going in. Let me say two things about this team first, Al. Mm-hmm. The coaching staff is amazing. Okay, they have three guys on their staff working for Coach Izzo that do a tremendous job day in and day out. I had a chance to watch them practice a couple of times in the summer when they were allowed to practice, and I watched some of the guys. I watched the relationships that were being built. You know, Dwayne Stevens is going to be a head coach. Dane Fife is going to be a head coach someday, and I think Mike Garland will give it another shot, too, to be a head coach. So he's got three guys that do a great job. And I'll tell you the second thing, Al, is the camaraderie between these guys. I don't think I've seen a team this close probably since the 2000 team with Mateen Cleaves and those guys.
Really?
I mean, I see Gary Harris and Denzel Valentine get going in the gym, shooting together, working out together. I saw Draymond Green come back in the summer, and I saw him work with those guys, and he gave them some great inspirational, motivational talks. And you know, everybody talked about leadership this, you know, captains this. They talk about Keith Athlin. Can he run a team? Can you win with him? I tell you what, Al, I think that's a little overrated, that leadership on the court type thing. Your main leadership is your head coach, and that's Tom Izzo, and there's no better leader in this country than Tom Izzo.
Right, that is so true. And you know something interesting, Steve? Tom Izzo said yesterday, I believe, that, you know, they haven't chosen captains yet. And Tom Izzo said, you know, there's so many pieces to this puzzle on this team that he's comfortable with that right now. He feels as though the chemistry is up there. They're playing well with one another right now. He feels as though everyone leads in their own individual way to the point where he doesn't need to name a captain right now. I've never heard that before.
Al, I'll be honest. I'll probably get shot down by this by a lot of people, but I'm not a big believer in a captain on a team. I'm really not, because at East Lansing, we don't have captains, okay?
You don't? You don't have captains?
Never. Never. We never have captains. We try to run the ship our way. We give the players a little bit of ownership, but I'm telling you, the best captains you can have, the best leadership, Al, you can have, comes from your coaching staff. Mm-hmm. And Michigan's coaching staff, they're going to bring it every single day. And, Al, you want leadership to be consistent. You want it to be stable. Al, just take for instance, you name one kid a captain. What if he has a really bad day in school? What if something happened at home? What if something happened with his girlfriend? He's going to come to that practice. It's going to be difficult to get that 18, 19-year-old kid to bring everybody together and give their best. The coaches every single day are motivated and inspired to do their best.
Gotcha. So throughout your entire coaching career, you've never had captains, huh, Steve?
Never, never.
And throughout the season that you've never had captains before, have you seen certain kids just naturally become leaders on the team?
At East Lansing, we've been lucky. In 4 years there, we've always had two or three or maybe four kids. What comes into effect, Al, is their ability to lead by playing other sports, football. We might have had a middle linebacker or a quarterback like a Tyler Tucker now, who's at Miami of Ohio. Last year when we had a Javon Haynes, you know, he played different sports. I think that helps a lot, especially in football, because football is kind of like a leadership type thing, defensive guy, defensive captain, offensive captain. So I think that helps. So I've never seen where I went to my assistant and say, gosh, I wish we had a captain. I mean, when do you really need a captain, during the game or after the game or before the game? I don't know. You tell me.
That's very, very interesting. That's an interesting aspect right there, Steve. yeah. Hey, to each his own, baby.
No, exactly.
Now, I got to ask you, Steve, before I let you go, yep. On this day 22 years ago, something happened, of course you know it, you know, that really, you know, not only made a huge impact in the sporting world, but in our culture. Magic yes. Johnson announcing that he was infected with the HIV virus. Yep. I want to ask you, where you were when you got the news that day, and what went through your head?
You know, Al, I'm so glad you asked me this. I heard you talk about it. I was listening to you earlier, and I heard you talking about it, and I said, gosh, I hope he asks me where I was.
Yeah.
I was in my first year coaching freshman basketball at my local high school in Brooklyn, Bishop Ford High School. We were just almost finishing up practice. Our athletic director walked out onto the court, okay, and he said, stop what you're doing right now and everybody come over here. We walked over to the television and we saw a report, and Magic was up there. And if I'm not mistaken, he had like a black maybe turtleneck on or something. Or I just remember him being up and talking about it. And we all looked at each other. We're like, oh, my God, Magic Johnson has AIDS. We were kind of, you know, ignorant of the disease at the time, but we learned so much more about it. But that's where I was. I was coaching basketball. I was on the floor. And I'll tell you, Magic's done a tremendous job with his, recovery, you want to say, or, you know, just taking care of his disease. He's been a great spokesperson, too.
Yes, without a doubt, Steven. And, you know, because, I mean, I was 1 year old when it happened. You know what I mean? I don't remember now, I was born in 1990. It happened in 1991.
Wow, you're a young guy, man.
I'm a little baby, man. But I got to ask you, Steve, when that happened, like you talk about, you know, because there were many that were ignorant of the AIDS disease. I mean, many thought it was just it was associated with homosexuals, you know,
no doubt.
In that day, you know, without a doubt. And I want to add, and many thought that if you were diagnosed with AIDS, it was an automatic death sentence.
Right.
Did you think that when Magic Johnson made this announcement?
You know, I wasn't really sure. I wasn't thinking about, you know, 5 years from then. You know, I didn't say, wow, is he going to die? You know, I'll be honest, I didn't really think about that. I just thought, I kind of asked myself, the first question was, how did he get it? You know, how did he come down with this? You know, and I said, wow, everything's going to come out soon. What happened? You know, and I read his book, Magic Johnson, My Life. It's a tremendous book, and he talks about it a lot. And I tell you what, Magic Johnson, I've met him a few times. He's a wonderful guy, man. And Michigan State is so lucky to have a guy like that.
Yeah, that is so true. So true, Steve. Well, Steve, we're going to be in touch, man. Head basketball coach over at East Lansing High School, Steve Fenimore. High school season begins on November 18th. Hey, Steve, good luck, and we'll be in touch, man.
All right, we'll talk soon. Thanks a lot, Al.
No problem, man. No problem, Steve. All right, well, when we return to current sports, we're going to update you on a few local high school teams that are still in the hunt for that trip to Ford Field, as well as discuss that moment on this day, 22 years ago, that many of us will never forget. The Magic Johnson AIDS announcement. Where were you when you heard the news, and what goes through your head today when you look back on it? Pick up that phone and give us a call. 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports will be right back.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. Next time on Here and Now, we'll speak with an American doctor who just returned from work at an emergency field hospital in Syria. He'll tell us about the physical and mental toll of the conflict there. The UN estimates 40% of Syria's population now needs humanitarian aid. That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
That's Here and Now coming up at 2 p.m.
Hi, I'm WKAR's Emmanuel Berry, host of Current State Weekend. Spend your weekends with me as I highlight current state weekday stories and explore mid-Michigan's vibrant arts and culture scene. We'll cover from the latest at Wharton Center to the diverse individuals that make Michigan's creative sector sing. It's Current State Weekend, Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at 1 on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Just finished chatting with head boys basketball coach over at East Lansing High School, Steve Fenimore. Such a great guy. Again, the high school boys basketball season is right around the corner, folks. November 18th is when everything tips off around here in mid-Michigan. Can't wait for that. I'm glad Hoops is back, folks. And we're also taking your calls throughout this entire day, throughout this entire show, an hour. Because 22 years ago on this day, a moment happened in where it changed. It really made us look at life a little bit different, not only in the sporting world, but in our culture. Magic Johnson, one of the most recognizable faces of that time and today, to be honest with you, he made the announcement that he was infected with the HIV virus. Where were you when you saw that presser and heard the news? Give us a call, 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527, and share your thoughts on that incredible historic moment. In the meantime, I want to talk about this Dolphin story. I'm joined by Matt Luckey right now. This story, just every single day, it seems like, is something. Folks, if you missed our headliners at the top of the hour, the latest twist in the story comes from many areas, from the teammates, from GM. Well, let me just read it really quick. GM Jeff Ireland suggested that Martin address the incognito situation physically, going as far as to say Martin should punch incognito. Now, in addition, several Dolphins teammates told reporters that they view incognito as being, quote, more black than Martin, citing incognito's toughness, grit, and rough upbringing. Wide receiver Brian Hartline, who is white, came to the defense of both incognito and Dolphins leadership, saying that, one, if I'm not mistaken, this was the same guy who was laughing about the voicemail at one point in time. Second of all, if you go through the whole voicemail, there are some things that you probably shouldn't say in general, friends or not friends. But with that being said, I never thought it was a death threat. I never thought he was going to do the things he said. If you can't take validity from one part of the voicemail, how can you take validity from the whole? You can't pick and choose which parts count and which parts don't. Well, Interesting stuff. Matt, what are your thoughts? First of all, I want to ask you, just hearing, because, you know, there were multiple teammates interviewed yesterday about this whole Jonathan Martin incognito situation that backed up incognito and backed up the leadership that was in question with this Dolphins team after this story, you know, hit the fan. Has it changed your perception at all hearing what you heard yesterday?
Maybe. You know, it's tough to say because, honestly, I feel like as soon as we end the show, there's going to be another news story with another update.
Probably happen right now.
And everything's going to turn around the other way again.
Yeah.
But, honestly, almost more interesting than the fact that multiple teammates came to Incognito's defense is that none of them have stepped up in Martin's defense.
Yeah.
You know?
That's surprising.
Every soundbite you hear from a Miami Dolphin takes Incognito's back and says he was trying to do like a, you know, kind of like a big brother, little brother relationship and trying to bring him along, and that Martin apparently didn't want to be a part of it. Obviously, they chose a guy who was a little on the edge as it was to kind of bring him into the fold.
A lot on the edge, I think.
Yeah, exactly. With a history of, you know, extracurricular kind of things in Incognito, but it's very strange to hear almost every Dolphin come to the defense Richie Incognito.
You know, and when it broke, and I'm sitting there listening to the news conference from the coach, and then they go into the locker room and interview the players, and like you said, every single teammate just about backed up Incognito and, you know, said that they didn't see this coming. He was joking around, blah 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 blah, and you know, something, if anything, something that really kind of puts a question mark in my head is, why hasn't Jonathan Martin released a statement yet or come out? I mean, he's the reason why this all came out. I mean, he left the team, you know, he released the voicemails and put a microscope in that locker room with this whole situation. You would think after all this comes out, I mean, the coach has come out and made a statement. Teammates have come out and made a statement. Why isn't the guy who kind of started all this mess, why hasn't he come out and said something? If there's anything, I'm questioning what is taking Jonathan Martin so long to come out and explain this whole thing, because I think, you know, that Dolphins locker room deserves an explanation right now. I think the public does, for what, you know, I think the fans do, because it's gotten really out of hand, to tell you the truth. But something that really disturbs me throughout this whole thing, Matt, if I may just hit on one point here, is several Dolphins teammates telling reporters that they view Incognito as, quote, more black than Martin, talking about his toughness and his grit and rough upbringing, if you will. And, you know, another thing, I don't know if you heard this yesterday, you know, Incognito, in the voice message that was released, he clearly used the N-word. Clearly uses the N-word, comes out and calls him a half, you know, N-word. And I believe, to Incognito's, if you can call it, defense, some teammates say that he was given permission by black players to use that word.
That he was an honorary
black person. First of all, that's ridiculous. And I want to tell you something. I grew up in high school, and I went to high school. My high school, Annapolis High School in Dearborn Heights, Michigan, it was a mixed high school. Whites, blacks, Latinos. I've had this guy. We've talked about this on the show before. And, you know, at the time when I was in high school, there were white teammates of mine when I was playing basketball who actually came up and asked me if it was okay for them to use that word. Now, why would you want to use that word? I have no idea. I think that word is so ingrained in hip-hop culture and popular culture in general that that word becomes cool to use, which I don't think is totally cool at all. And I actually had, white teammates of mine come up to me and say, hey, is it cool if I use that word? Of course, I'm sitting there like, are you crazy? Are you nuts? No, you can't use that word. You got to be crazy. It'll be a fight. You know what I mean? This part of the conversation goes beyond the whole Incognito Martin situation and goes into the subject of race, to be honest with you. And for Dolphins teammates, even if they did give Incognito permission to use the word, that's terrible. That's wrong. Point blank, period. One black man cannot speak for an entire race on a word that has plagued society since days of slavery. You know what I mean? First of all, that's a conversation that should not even been had. And that disturbs me. And that just speaks to popular culture in general. We have a problem in many aspects, in many regards. And this situation highlights that in many ways. And also, them viewing Incognito as being more black due to his rough upbringing, if that ain't a stereotype, I don't know what is. So you're telling me every black kid in America grew up in the slums, slanging drugs and, you know, dodging bullets? You know what I mean? Like, are you serious? That disturbs me as well with this story. And it opens up a can of worms that honestly could be a healthy conversation, because I feel like there are many, many people out there who feel as though it's okay. I guess okay to use the N-word to some degree, because they see these rappers using it and they see popular culture using it left and right, that it becomes cool and they want to use it. That's a problem that we have in society, and that's a conversation. I mean, you saw Riley. We go back to the Riley Cooper situation, where he just kind of slipped, quote unquote, out of his mouth. You know what I mean? The N-word is a heated topic, and it comes in this conversation. It's one of those things where, you know, you look at it and you just shake your head, because there's so many people that just don't get it when it comes to that word. You know what I mean? I think Incognito and that obviously that Dolphins locker room doesn't get it either. You know what I mean? So that's one aspect that really, really disturbs me. And the whole notion, and this is another thing I want to bring up, Matt, because when I was growing up, you know, blackness, just from the African-American culture, blackness is another topical conversation when you talk about who's more black than others.
This is exactly what I wanted to ask you.
Yes,
because,
go ahead.
So you grew up in a diverse high school.
Yeah.
Have you encountered any situations where African-American kids are deemed not black enough?
Yes. Yes, without a doubt. It happens all the time in the African-American culture and is absolutely terrible. You know what? And for me, like I said, I grew up in Detroit, west side of Detroit, rough area, you know what I mean? A friend of mine grew up in Dearborn Heights, that area. It's not Detroit. I mean, it's, you know, everyone mows their lawn, not a lot of litter on the ground. You know, it's a better atmosphere. And when I was in high school, and he was a teammate of mine, the white players on that team would question how hard and how tough the black kid who grew up in Dearborn Heights was. Because they would look at me and a few of my other teammates, who we would make that commute every day from, you know, which wasn't far. I mean, 10 minutes away from Detroit. We would make that commute from Detroit to Annapolis High School, because it was a better school district, to be honest with you, than DPS is. And the kid who grew up in that area, they would sometimes even pick on that player because they felt as though he wasn't as tough, or he wasn't, his street credibility, if you will, it didn't match up to the average black guy. And it wasn't cool not to be, they looked at it as not, it wasn't cool for him to not grow up in the slums and grow up hard and tough. And that's something that still goes on today. You know, it's something, and he kind of talked, you know, he talked, and I could go into this whole conversation too, because of talking proper. You know what I mean? Talking without, you know, the slang. He talked like you should talk as a human being.
Right.
And they looked at that as him acting white. And that's another conversation that goes on in the black community that's totally crazy. I actually threw a program on this when I was, you know, when I was an undergrad at Michigan State, a member of my fraternity, and I threw a program talking about, I think it was titled How Black is Black. And we actually had the conversation about, you know, what these preconceived notions as to what black is. And, you know, this, like I said, this conversation opens up a can of worms because, Matt, there are simply so many ignorant people out there that just don't understand. You know what I mean?
Right, and I feel like when you talk about things like that, all that's doing is reinforcing negative stereotypes about the black community. And like, how is that healthy for anyone? I feel like that's like a core issue,
right?
In you know, black culture today is, you know,
right.
And you can't have this divide among a group like that. It just doesn't seem healthy for the, you know, the culture as a whole, and it seems like, you know, kind of we've got to move away from it. And, you know, you look at Jonathan Martin, he went to Stanford, you know.
Very educated.
There were quotes that said he was more of a Stanford or Rice kind of player than an LSU or Alabama player.
Right.
And those kind of, like, how can you make a statement like that? I mean,
makes no sense whatsoever. It's ignorance. At the end of the day, when it comes down to it, it's ignorance. It's coming from people who don't understand, you know, that aspect of culture in general. And it upsets me. And I have to sometimes, you know, check friends of mine and people I associate myself with, because they make those same stereotypes when it comes to an individual who's right now. The big conversation is Kanye West trying to be white right now? He married Kim Kardashian and he's talking proper now. Kanye never used to talk like this. If he does talk like it, what's the problem? You know what I mean? Like, it's a conversation that's ongoing, and it really upsets me and gets under my skin, and it's something we could have a whole show on this one. I believe we have Apache on line one. How you doing, Apache? Welcome to the show, brother.
How you guys doing, man? It's a good topic today. As far as the comment that he's more black than the other dude, and evidently this is the white dude, I'm not paying much attention to this, except that comment caught my attention, is that you can be white and act black, but the beautiful thing about that is that you can stop being black anytime you want. And whereas if you're black, you're black, you're black, you're black. I don't care how you talk, what kind of education you got. And there's proof in the president. Yeah. You know what they say about the president. I mean, this man is extremely educated, committed, loyal, everything. And we know the things that are being said about him. He can't escape the flag. I mean, he can run around and call himself biracial, but we know what people are saying about him. I think that's the difference. It's the idea that he's more black. It's nonsense. And it's ignorance on the part of its teammates. But as far as Magic Johnson, I was in Chestertown, Indiana, painting an apartment, and I watched it on TV. It frightened me, mm-hmm. because I felt if he's not safe, then none of us are safe from the AIDS epidemic. But the other thing which I heard was that a lady had said that he had gone to Detroit to the hospital before this happened to visit some kids who were in some AIDS ward. And she was watching him giving these kids support, pepping them up and doing good things for them and all that. And she was thinking to herself, and she said this in the documentary. She said that, you would feel different if you had AIDS. And a year later, he announced that he got AIDS, and she felt this great sense of shame. And to me, that affected me more than the fact that he had come up with AIDS, you know. So anyway, where I was. But I just want to make a comment about that black thing, man. That's ridiculous.
Right,
that's
definitely. And because I believe at that, when he came out, Apache, with that press conference, I believe at that time he was just affected with the HIV virus, which I believe is different from the actual AIDS.
Yes.
Exactly. Yes,
but had he not been multi-millionaire, then he would have ended up with AIDS.
So, right. Exactly. And I want to ask you, Apache, when
corrections there.
Right. When that press conference happened and Magic came out and announced that he had the HIV virus, did you automatically think it was a death sentence? I mean, because I mean, there were,
yes.
at that time in 91, I mean, not yes. many people knew about it. You did.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And there was a lot of terrible things written in the newspapers and magazines about him. And I had heard a rumor that Isaiah Thomas had said some things about him and homosexuality and so forth. And that's why the relationship was discontinued. I don't know if that to be a fact. Mm-hmm. But I had read some things and heard some things about it, which really hurt my feelings, because Magic Johnson was an incredible ball player, and so was Isaiah Thomas. And to me, they were just incredible players, and their friendship somehow evaporated, disintegrated. And that was kind of sad, you know, very, very sad. But, yeah, anyway, good program, guys.
Hey, thanks a lot, Apache. Thank you for the call, man. Thank you.
Bye.
Yeah, all right, well, let's shift gears, man. Let's talk about that moment in history. I mean, you know, the Magic Johnson AIDS or HIV announcement. I mean, I look back at that moment and, you know, to see somebody of that caliber, because at that time, nobody on that status, that platform, that famous had come out and announced that they had the virus. And, you know, for Magic to come out and, you know, just going back and look at the documentaries that have been produced during that time, and for Magic to come out and make that announcement, man, I think Magic has been an unbelievable advocate for the disease. He's done an unbelievable job at keeping himself healthy. I tell you what, he's probably getting the best treatment in the world, I tell you, with all the money he has, which definitely helps, you know. You know, it's one of those moments you look at and it makes you wake up, you know, and say, you know, you say to yourself that life is short, you know, you got to value each and every day that you are here on this earth. And because at that moment, like I said, there were many people when Magic came out and made that announcement. I'm pretty sure it crossed his mind a few times that, you know, maybe this is it. You know what I mean? Maybe this is a deficit for me.
Yeah, and honestly, in the grand scheme of things, for society in general, it's probably a good thing. Because if he doesn't, if someone who is as high profile as he was, and I mean, I believe Freddie Mercury died later. Yeah, but, you know, that's apples and oranges. Magic Johnson was a, you know, worldwide superstar. I mean, he was the face of arguably the biggest franchise in professional basketball for a decade. You know, he was part of the biggest college basketball game ever. You know, right. He was a worldwide celebrity. He's, you know, he's a mogul now. And him, you know, contracting the HIV virus and making the announcement and having all this out in public and having it be well documented, it raised awareness to such a degree that, you know, I mean, that now efforts are still going. Efforts to fight the, you know, HIV AIDS virus, and I feel like a lot of it is owed to him, because you needed, I mean, I know this sounds weird, but you needed that kind of poster child to kind of wake people up.
No, I know exactly where you're coming from. I'm pretty sure that seeing a man of his status, for many who were affected with that age of HIV virus, looking at a guy like Magic Johnson, it gave him hope.
Gave him hope, and it raised awareness on, you know, safe sex and taking care of yourself, and, you know, just awareness on how to prevent this disease from spreading any farther than it already was.
So true. All right, well, we only got 3 minutes left, Matt. What other Throwback Thursday moments do we have on this day?
All right, we'll get to a couple real quickly here.
Yeah.
1943, Detroit Lions, New York Giants tie 0-0, the last scoreless tie in the NFL. There you go.
The last scoreless tie. Wow, 43.
Oh, yeah. 1962, Glenn Hall sets an NHL record of 503 consecutive games as goalie, which is incredibly impressive when you consider the lack of equipment he had back in 1962. I don't know how he was able to stand up for 500 games consecutively. 2002, University of Michigan bans its men's basketball team from postseason play. In 2003, because of a scandal involving Ed Martin. We all know about that.
Yeah, we know Ed Martin.
It's taken him, what, 10 years to get back to where they were?
Yeah.
1985, Reuben Hurricane Carter.
Wow, I love that
middleweight
movie.
Boxer who was twice convicted of triple murder in Paterson, New Jersey, was released after 19 years in state prison. Obviously, he got the Bob Dylan song written about him, too.
Yep. It's a great movie.
Let's see. Last but not least, 2008, Carlos Boozer scores 21-9, and the Utah Jazz win 1,000 games under Jerry Sloan. Longtime Utah Jazz coach Jerry Sloan wins his 1,000th game before Darren Williams can run him out of town before he moves to Brooklyn.
Yeah, you know, he's
poor Jerry
Sloan. Jerry Sloan, he's one of the greatest coaches. He's a Hall of Famer, without a doubt. And, man, that's interesting stuff. You know, going back to Reuben Hurricane Carter, that was a great movie, man.
It was a great movie.
Oh, Denzel played. He deserves an award for that movie, I tell you. He gets an award for playing like a thug in Training Day, but he can't get an award for that. Or Malcolm X. That's another barbershop Wednesday I could have right there.
Denzel gets no respect.
No respect, man. Just Training Day, and that's all he got for the Oscars.
We were actually just watching Remember the Titans clips in the other room.
That's a every movie.
Hit after hit.
I can't name. Can you name one bad Denzel Washington movie?
Oof.
I can't.
Off the top of my head, I don't think I can.
I don't think there's any. Does that exist? I've never seen one.
Yeah, I'm stumped.
I've never seen a bad Denzel Washington movie. Denzel, he's great. But all right, well, there you have it, man. Well, first of all, I want to thank all of you out there who called in. Well, Apache who called in and gave your thoughts on that incredible moment in sports history. Magic Johnson, 22 years ago to this day, making the announcement that he had been infected, with the HIV virus. Crazy stuff there. Thank you for your calls, and thank you all who showed up to Current Sports TV's taping last night. Again, that airs tonight at 10 p.m. as I sit down with Bob Every, and I tell you, man, it was one moment there. Tears were flowing from Bob's eyes. You got to check it out and see it. It's riveting, riveting TV, man. He really opened up, and thanks a lot to the MSU Club softball team. You guys were great last night. So much energy. Again, you can catch that tonight at 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV as I sit down with Bob Every, Current Sports TV, folks. Before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Production assistants Alex Sharg and Matt Lucky, engineer Aaron Young, Peter Worf, our station manager here at WKAR. Thanks to all of you out there for tuning in, and thanks to Steve Fenimore as he gets ready to for the basketball season. High school boys basketball, November 18th, folks. You listen to Current Sports with me, Al Martin on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have a fantastic day. See you tomorrow. And be easy, people.